When the Lord Jesus Christ began to speak to the multitudes in parables, there was a definite shift in his approach to dealing with the people. The disciples sensed this shift and were uncertain about its cause. Ironically, the people in the multitudes that were following the Lord Jesus did not sense the shift. The parables that the Lord used relied on terms and images that the people readily grasped. And so they believed that they had full comprehension of that which the Lord Jesus Christ was telling them. Clearly, though, they did not. If you read the whole chapter, you will read the exposition of the parables to the disciples. And it was clear that the multitudes did not benefit from that exposition. The disciples found themselves perplexed about the true meaning of the parables. And so they thought that the people at large must also be perplexed. There had to be a reason, they thought, for this change in methodology. And they wanted to know the reason. And so they asked the Lord Jesus the question that we find in our text. Why speakest thou unto them in parables? The Savior gave a clear and forthright answer. An answer that has often been interpreted in such a way as to mean the opposite of what the Savior actually said. It is interesting to survey the commentators on this point. I don't always do that, but I thought it would be interesting just to see what they had to say about this particular issue. And it was amazing how many well-known commentators studiously avoided any assessment of this question and answer. Because we are justified in concluding, they fear the implications of the Savior's words. There was a purpose for the Savior's practice of teaching the multitudes by the use of parables. It was so that they would not understand the real substance of the gospel. Notice what I said. So that they would not understand. I submit to you when I say that, that what I am saying runs directly counter to the commonly accepted view of the parables. And what is that view? They are earthly stories with heavenly meanings. And they are used with the purpose of making the heavenly meanings more understandable to the multitudes. That's the commonly accepted view. I submit to you, that view does not line up with the words of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was indicating here that while the parables are indeed earthly stories with heavenly meanings, He was using them so that those who heard them would not understand the truth that lay behind them. There is no other conclusion that we can draw from verses 11 through 16. To the disciples, He explained the real significance of the stories He had told to the multitudes, notably the parable of the sower and the parable of the wheat and the tares. And in that division, explaining to the disciples what He did not explain to the multitudes, there was another exposition of the sovereignty of God. Why did He speak to them in parables? Because they had already indicated their refusal to hear the truth. God's judgment was that they would think they understood the Word of God, when in reality they would continue on in their blindness and hardness of heart. Now let that reality make everyone here beware. Don't be content with a mere superficial response to the words of God. How many people there are who hear the words of God and they say, yes, those are the words of God, and they never think anything more about them. Don't be content with that response. Ponder the words of God. Think about the words of God. Dwell upon them. Seek for the illumination upon them that comes only from the Spirit of God. You see, that in our text with which many are not comfortable is the idea that God, for His own good and glorious purposes, has made a division between people. He has given some people to understand the truth, and others He has passed by so that they have only the most superficial sense of the truth. And that is purely the result of grace. There are many who object to the very concepts that our Savior was expounding in this section. They raise concerns about equity and fairness. Well, it's not fair that God gives some to understand and others He doesn't. Well, let me make a statement that will shock you, may shock you. God is not interested in your conceptions of fairness. God is interested in that which is right, in that which is good, and in that which is according to His own character and His supreme will. That's what God is interested in. So if you think that what God is doing is not fair, God doesn't care in the slightest what you think. No sinner can ever reproach the God of the universe for being unfair. In fact, God is so long-suffering with those who are rebels against Him and His truth, that all we could conclude is that God has gone so far as to be more than fair. The Lord Jesus Christ was making it plain here that His own words and the form in which He put them would be the actual condemnation of those who heard them and thought that they understood them. This question and answer then brings us to the most solemn ground that we could occupy. We learn here that there is a deep-seated responsibility laid upon those who have been granted the privilege to receive the words of God. They cannot treat them with indifference as though they were neutral. Those words themselves become the vehicle of condemnation. This question and answer then brings us to the arresting subject of judgment through Christ's word. There are many who come and go from the place of the holy. Sadly, there are many who have listened to the Word of God their whole lives, over and over, in their homes, in the churches that they attend. They listen to the preaching of the Word of God, and it becomes familiar to them. And they imagine that they comprehend what the preacher says. But the reality is And it's an awful reality. They never get beyond the superficial response. They never get to the level of the soul. They never ponder the application of the truth to their hearts. You may have heard the gospel message for years. You may be able to quote all of its terms. You may even tend now to shut out what I'm saying and say, oh yes, I've heard that before. I get it. I understand it. But the truth is you have never pondered it in your heart. You have never taken the time to think about how it applies to you. Individually, personally, you're like those in the multitude to whom Jesus was speaking. They heard the story about the sower and the seed, and you know what they thought? Oh, we get that. Yeah, that's we know about that. We know that you have to be careful where you sow the seed. They were familiar with the circumstances, and so they heard it. Oh, isn't that a nice story? They went away convinced that they understood what it was Jesus had said. But when Jesus took his disciples aside and he began to speak to them, it became plain that the crowd had not understood anything. They had heard, but they had not heard. They had seen, but they had not seen. And so it is with many today. Will it be that way with you today? Will you hear and understand? This question and answer exchange frightens me. For it reminds me, it's not enough to hear the word of the Lord. There is an intellectual level on which it is possible to hear the word of the Lord. To understand its terms, even dare I say, to commit it to memory. Oh, there are people in hell right now who memorize the word of the Lord. That frightens me. Because if there is no reception of the word into your soul, then not all of your intellectual understanding of the word will do you any good. God will demand an accounting of what you have done with His Word. To whom much is given, much shall be required. You can be zealous about many things. It amazes me how zealous people can be about many things. But if you're not zealous about the Word of the Lord and its application to your soul, you will be like so many others. You will go away thinking that you have heard, but not understanding. You will consider that you see. But in the words of Christ on another occasion, the reality is you'll be blind and your sin will remain. You need to ponder what the Savior said in answer to this question. And you need to seek the grace that you need to understand that answer. It ought to be your cry today, Lord, I am in that category. I've heard the word. Lord, speak to me today. Because this answer has three components that I would have you to see. First of all, God's sovereign revelation. The response of our Lord Jesus Christ to the question asked by the disciples is very clear. And only those who come to our text with an agenda that is opposed to the sovereignty of God will fail to see the import of the Savior's reply. Why? The question is, why do you speak to them in parables? Why? Notice the direct answer in verse 11. Because. All right, here it comes. He's saying, I'm going to tell you why. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Who is doing the giving? It is given to you, to the disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. What are those mysteries? The mysteries of the gospel, the incarnation and virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the mystery of atonement, the mystery of redemption. Who is doing the giving or the not giving? That is God. Here is the testimony of Christ. And here, I say, is a testimony that depraved hearts unanimously detest and abhor. The idea that God would give some people to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and would not give that to others. That is where depraved hearts rise up and say, that isn't fair. This is America. Everybody should have the same opportunity. Well, I want to tell you today, God is not bound by American conceptions of fairness. God gives to some people to understand His truth, and to others He does not give that understanding. That is the very essence of election. And that division is plainly evident in the Savior's words that we read in verse 9 that were spoken to the multitude. What does He say at the end of the parable? Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. That is, He's looking out over them and He's saying, if you can understand it, then understand it. What's the implication? Not everybody has ears to hear. There is a division. Some will understand and some will not. And what is the cause of that division? It is purely and totally the intervention of God. Because apart from that intervention, no one would understand. Here's the thing that I always like to drive home when we talk about election. It's not to me an amazing thing that not all are saved. It is an amazing thing to me that any are saved. The only cause of this division is grace. God's election is an election of grace. It is not built upon what you are or what your parents are or what your grandparents are or were. It's not built upon anything that you do. It is an election of grace. The fact that some have ears to hear and others do not is solely the result of God's intervention. It's the division of which the Lord was speaking in the parable of the wheat and the tares later in this same chapter. The story there was that the Lord planted good seed. He planted wheat in the field. And then an enemy came and planted tares, weeds. And that when the wheat began to sprout, then the tares sprouted as well. And in the early days, it was hard to tell the difference between the wheat and the tares. And so the master's servant said, should we gather up the tares out of the field? And he said, no, let them grow until the harvest. Because at the harvest it will become evident which is the wheat and which is the tare. There's a marked difference that becomes evident at the harvest. There is a division. There is a division. And the division is manifested, Jesus is saying, by whether you hear or not. So if you do not pay attention to the Word of God? What is that telling you about the side of the division that you're on? You're on the side of those who think they know but don't understand. You have ears to hear? Then hear. There are many people who have been the recipients of God's grace, but they treat it in a very cavalier fashion. You need to hear. You need to listen. Do you have eyes to see the truth? Then see the truth. Then respond to the truth. Do you object that God doesn't deal fairly with people and not giving them all the same opportunity? Then let's hear the word of the Lord. Paul's epistle to the Romans. And chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And let's look at verse 14. Well, let's just back up because there's a tie in directly. Verse 14 is what I want. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Or I'm in chapter 10, I'm supposed to be in chapter 9. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? God is asserting his complete sovereignty here. Now in this division, then, there is a word that comes to your heart. Be sure you do not disregard the word of God. In the Old Testament, God showed this sovereignty in giving his special revelation to the children of Israel and not to the Gentiles. But listen, God has now given this special revelation unto you. You have it in your hands. Will you hear it? Will you pay attention to its exposition? Or do you actually believe, that you know better than God how to govern your life? We're surrounded by people who believe that. It's one of the greatest disconnects in our society. You read poll after poll after poll that shows the vast number of people say they believe in God. The percentages are always way up there, 80, 90%. And I say, if that's so, why do they live as though God did not exist? So be very careful about how you respond to this revelation in the Word. For we find something else in our text, and that is depravity's fitting condemnation. It is most appropriate, the Lord Jesus said, that the very word that he speaks becomes the condemnation. He quoted directly from the prophecy of Isaiah. And let's go back to Isaiah chapter 6 and look at that. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6 and verse 9. I always wonder when I hear messages on Isaiah 6, on the call of Isaiah, the famous words of verse 8, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." I always wonder why they never read past that to see what Isaiah was being sent to do. But if you look at verse 9, this is what God said. God said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." That was the mission Isaiah was given. It was a mission of judgment. Sometimes I wonder in these days if God has not called His servants to that mission, a mission of judgment. The Lord Jesus said that His use of parables was a direct fulfillment of that prophecy. Notice the terms that He used. "Because they had refused the word." In verse 13, "Because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." He's saying, that's why I speak to them in parables. "Because they had refused the word." Christ was presenting the word to them in terms that they would think that they could understand, but which they did not understand. So that they would not be converted. That was why He spoke to them in parables. Now I say that is a solemn word. That is a solemn word. And as surely as we are here today, there are people who are listening to me who have the same response to the word that those people had. "Oh, you think you get it? Now you've heard it all before." And you go away and you're as blind as ever. There is that within our depraved hearts that rises up against this word of Christ. And that rebellion, that hardness of heart is the very thing of which the Savior was speaking. What is the condemnation, He said? It is that the very privilege that the unregenerate seem to have will be removed from them. Verse 12, "Whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." And there is a very interesting illumination of that in a parallel passage in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. "Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." He seemeth to have. He seems to have the privilege of hearing the word of God. How many are there who have had this privilege, and they have despised it. They have spurned it. And God has taken it from them. Take heed how ye hear. Every every young person in this gathering needs to take this word to heart. Do you pretend you can defer your response to the word of the Lord? Do you actually believe that you can drift along through life and not come right out and say you believe what Christ is saying? I fear for those who sit under the sound of God's word. And they just drift along. It frightens me. Are you going to be among those at the last from whom the Lord will take away even that which you appear to have? I know of cases where it has happened. There is a judgment. Here, it is an appropriate judgment for depravity. God removing the very privilege that you seem to have. But I'm glad we don't have to end on that note. There is one other component to consider, and that is salvation's wondrous interpretation. The Lord Jesus pronounced a great blessing on the disciples. Having said all that he had said about those who would not hear and understand, he said in verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Now the disciples did not understand it all at this point. That's obvious. But he said to them, that there were many in former days who had desired to see the things that they were witnessing, and they didn't see them. To hear the things that they were hearing, and they hadn't heard them. So he's saying to them, blessed are your eyes. For he's saying to them, God has given you the privilege of receiving the truth of the gospel. But remember that among those who heard these words was Judas Iscariot. The disciples had been given to understand many things that others had longed to know. Here is salvation. It's a wonderful thing when a person comes with a heart opened to receive the truth of the Word. I have seen people whose eyes were open and they could see, but it was obvious that they couldn't see. And I have seen those people when the Lord opened their eyes, when the Lord gave them to understand. And what a difference. You know, many of you in your own experience, what a difference there is between the way in which you responded to the Word before God intervened in your life and the way you respond to it now. This is salvation. The blessing of God to make you see, to make you hear, to make you understand, so that when you hear the parable of the sower and the seed, you know this is not just about sowing and reaping and farming. This is about what goes on in the spiritual realm. Let this be the blessing that is pronounced over you today. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Hear the Word of God today. Receive the Word of God. Say, I'm taking my stand for that. Whatever other people think, I don't care. I'm taking my stand for the Word of the Lord. I'm taking my stand with Jesus Christ. I'm coming right out. I'm going to say, This is what I believe. This is what I profess. Because here's the great promise. Those who come to know that reality, Jesus says of them, they will have even more given to them. They will have even more given to them. They will have understanding in abundance. So on which side of the division are you going to be? This is the day for you to hear. It's the day for you to come right out and say, I'm standing with Christ. And I don't care what my friends think. I don't care what anyone else thinks. I'm standing with Christ. I'm going to stand on His Word. I'm going to stand for His truth. I'm going to give my life to His service. That is what is involved in this question. Why speakest thou to them in parables? Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Well, be sure today you're on the right side of that line. Be sure how you hear. Be careful how you hear. Do not go away still lost.